You are now listening to Talking Transparency, the podcast where trans parents talk transparently, hosted by Thea Ross, Melissa Lukson, and Cody Connor.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Melissa.
I'm Cody.
And I'm Thea.
On today's episode, we are talking transparently with Zion Peters.
Hi, everybody.
Zion is the winner of Mr. Trans Virginia 2024 and the state representative of Virginia in the Mr. and Ms. Trans USA national pageant. He is a monarch, a thriving trans man of color, and a young man trying to forge his own path and master his own destiny. We'll talk about his life, dreams, goals, and aspirations, the pageant scene, and more. But before we do that, Cody, what do we have on events?
Well, coming up tomorrow night, but you will not get this till afterwards. We're going to have a great dinner at ODU.
Trans family dinner, yeah.
Yep. April 25th is our Know Your Rights workshop at the 757 CRC. April 27th is the next D&D club. My wife's going. She just doesn't know it yet. May 2nd is our May Trans Family Dinner hosted by Mass and Mel Howard of Thriving Trans Men of Color in Norfolk. So that'll be, it's really cool to see our our dinners kind of going to different places.
Yeah, no, that's great.
We love our monarchs, like legitimately.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then May 19th is Trans Family Dinner. Got two in May. May 23rd is the t-shirt making workshop. May 25th is our May D&D club. And June 17th is the start of Ghent Pride in Norfolk, Virginia. We're going to be tabling there. Kalos will be a beneficiary, so we'll get some of all of the funds. So that's a big deal for us.
That's
great. I'm really excited about that.
I'm super excited, too, because there's Hope House. There's a Stonewall. I know if you get a ticket, if you come out, you buy alcohol. If you come out and just get some food, you basically get to have a good time. You get a show, and you get to support all these amazing organizations. I love Ghent Pride. There's not really another Pride event like it in Hampton Roads. It's just like, we're going to give back. It's what they even call it. It's Ghent Gives Back.
Oh,
but anyways, thank you, Cody. Thank you for giving us the rundown.
No worries. It's great to see us out so many places.
Absolutely. Really, and thank you, Zion, for joining us today, and I have a couple questions for you.
Okay.
First off, I want to ask, what are your main hobbies and interests now, and what are your dreams and goals?
Well, I guess my main hobbies and interests, I'm a drag performer, so I'm always listening to music and just listen to music, prance around the house, just being jolly on me. I like making people laugh. I'm really goofy. I like cracking jokes on everybody, including me. What else? I like making music. Well, not making music, but like making mixes for like my other friends and relatives in entertainment. I make art mixes. I like shooting pool. I'm like a really big 8-ball and 9-ball fan. What else? I love kids. I love being around kids and stuff. And I just love, I guess, being trans and just spreading the joy or any information that I can pass along to the next trans individual. So, yeah.
That's awesome. I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Who do you like to perform the most? Which artist? Do you have a go-to or favorite?
Well, okay, so I'm a male seductive dancer, but I do like pop and all of that.
Yeah.
So like if it's like something seduction, I would probably do like some Tank or Jacque or some Chris Brown.
Okay.
But like for pop, it'd be like Bruno Mars or like Michael Jackson.
Very cool.
I'm about to do Lil Nas X soon.
Oh.
I can't say when. But yeah, I'm about to start back. I'm not really performing right now since I'm preparing for like the pageant and all of that. But I am performing at Pride, so never know. I might do a Lil Nas X number. May not know.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Tell us about the pageant a little bit.
Yeah.
You won the Virginia pageant. How did that go? What was that like?
Okay, so what happened was you know, have all the 50 states. Then it's like, I think it's like a few select countries you can do. So the promoter has been trying to get me to do the pageant for like the past 2 years. And I'm just like, I've only been doing drag for 2 years. So I was like, the first year, no, let me get used to like the entertaining and stuff like that. And like, he's been asking me how I've been doing. Like he said, even if it's not for this system, if it's for another system, just let me know and I can help you or whatever. So I said, okay, cool. So this year for Trans Day of Visibility, I went to Baltimore because I am also in ballroom. So I was walking a ball, but then I also had shows up in Baltimore, D.C. And so my friend, she was performing at this gala. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to go up there. Me and my people, my, you know, friends and stuff like that, we went up to the gala or whatever. And they was there because it was for, you know, the pageant and stuff like that. And I came, like I had, like, a rhinestone blazer all dressed up. And the promoter was like, dude, you can win the match with that. I was just like, what? This little thing? Like, this ain't nothing.
You're like, I didn't even get ready.
Right. I was like, this is just something I threw on. He was like, no, like, this would have been cool. And, like, I met everybody that night. Like, it really felt different to be in a room full of, like, trans royalty. Like, people who was, like, representing this state and this state, and the king and the queen was there, and the promoter was there, and, like, former kings and queens were there. So it was, like, it was a whole lot. So when I got back home, I was like, maybe I should run for this pageant. And so I contacted the king, and I was like, well, I don't really have the funds for the fee. And he said, oh, no worries. Somebody already put in for the early bird registration fee for $100. So I said, okay. Then he said, you just got to come up with the other 50. I said, okay. So got in contact with Thea, and I was like, hey, you know, I'm gonna help out.
Like to do this. Do you think maybe?
Yes, make it, keep it at 100. And so she was like, yeah. And so when I sent him the registration fee, then that's when I became the official representative for the state of Virginia.
For the state of Virginia.
Now Mr. Trans Virginia 2024. Yay. So, yay.
Yes. That's amazing. And I actually, one thing, like, I don't see enough drag kings performing. And I'd like to see that more.
Yeah. It's mostly like, you know, 37 is in. They have their shows and everything. I think that's, well, they're starting to branch off at Rainbow Cactus and stuff like that now. But really, 37 is in is where, well, we all started. Like, that's even where I started. And some of my trans brothers in the community, they perform there too. So, yeah, if y'all want to go out and support the, you know, the 37th AFAB entertainers. In. Yeah, yes. You know.
So. Yes, very good. Very good.
Well, I'm so envious of people who get up and perform and are able to do this sort of stuff, because I have a lot of anxiety. Yeah. You said you have a podcast, you started a nonprofit, well, you have anxiety, come on now. But at the same time, there's something about, and I just love that scene. What really got you into it to begin with? Like, I know, like, it's an interest of yours. Has it always been an interest? It's always been like you just saw other queens and kings, and it's just been like, that's that light, you know?
Yeah. Well, I would say when I first moved here, when I told you, and I officially moved out of my parents' house, and so I went to ODU. That's where I was, and you know, 37 to Zen was there, and it's funny because I didn't know nothing about the gay life because, you know, childhood sucks. Anyway, and so my brother Dexter Davis, I met him at the Life Center because I was like trying to see how the name change stuff worked, and then he was like, you know, you should, like, definitely go out to 37 is in and sit beside Mama Lex. And I was like, who is Mama Lex? And then he was like, oh, you gonna know who Mama Lex is. Oh, you gonna know who Mama Lex is. And I was like, okay. And so I went to 37 is in, and I went to the bar, and I was like, I'm looking for Lex. She said, I'm right here, baby. I said, oh, hey. And then a month later, I became her child. So she actually, ever since then, I started coming to the bar just about every day, every other day. I eventually started working at 37 Zen, doing brunches with my mom and everything. And that's kind of like my whole family. I'm Ova Dupree. I'm Zion Ova Dupree is my stage name. So both of my families, but especially like the Ovas. Yeah, like, we're really big, especially when he was at 37 is in. Yeah. So when I started seeing my pops or my granddad, he's like my dad and my granddad. And I was looking at him, I was like, I like that. And like, because like, I always loved listening to music. And I feel like my pops is the one who really, I always tell him all the time, you really made me want to really do entertainment. So,
And what do you want to do with your, I mean, do you want to be an entertainer? Like, is that
I call myself a traveling performer. I really am just based in the DMV because I don't have a car or anything like that. But a whole lot of people hit me up every day, like, hey, we need you in this show. Just let me know whenever you get transportation. We got you or whatever. And I'm like, I'm talking about like Florida, Atlanta, New York. Like, I'm talking about like big cities. And I'm just like,
wow.
Dude, like, I'm like, oh my gosh. But I'm going to get there one day.
So, you'll get there. Yeah. You'll get there.
Yeah.
Is that where you see yourself in like 5 years? The big stages? Where do you want to perform the most?
Baltimore, D.C.
Is there like a particular venue, like in your head, you're like, this, I want to.
Yeah, so I
be on Broadway or what's the one spot?
Well, the one place that I do want to perform as of right now is I don't know the bar, but I know the king is a drag king in D.C. called King Molasses, and like he's just freaking phenomenal. Like he is really phenomenal. He's like one of the, I guess, the local celebrities in D.C. So it's really hard to get in contact with him, but that's how busy he is. So
I bet Atlanta would be so good, too.
Yeah, and then also Pretty Boy Kings. Yeah, Pretty Boy Kings, they have a night called Pretty Boy Night on Fridays. I performed there. And I was like, dude, if I lived in D.C., because they're on actual tour, so like they're actually going on tours, doing shows and stuff like that now. Wow. So I think it's the first drag king tour company, you know, that's around here, or at least on the East Coast. So,
very cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then have you graduated from ODU or you're still at ODU?
No, so I'm still trying to pursue.
You still never
pursue, yeah. I should have been graduated.
It's hard out here.
Yeah, but it's not only that, because my parents cut me off financially when I came out as trans. I was like, wow. So I have a past due balance to cover from what they've done. Yeah. So,
I mean, look, you got to do what you need to do.
Yeah, definitely.
And how much more free do you feel?
A lot more free.
Being able and performing, has that helped you?
Yeah, it has helped me, especially coming out, and it's the support and everything. Like, then I can express myself. It's funny because my dad, he told me, he said, no, I actually saw you do a performance. What? Because it's funny because, like, I blocked all my family on social media. So I was like, how did you, what? He said, I ain't gonna lie, you did pretty good, kid. You did pretty good. And I was just like, okay, I'm still not coming back home. Sorry.
Somehow he saw it.
Yeah, I was just like, no. Oh, well, I don't care.
Yeah. Are you from, you said you moved here.
Yeah.
Where'd you move here from?
Southern Virginia. It's like,
okay. So Danville. Still
yeah.
Virginia. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like four or five hours.
Oh,
from
I know
here.
Where
yeah.
Danville is.
Yeah. So I was like, I gotta get my gay ass out of here.
Yeah.
That's how I ended up in Virginia Beach. Mm-hmm. When my daughter came out to me, we were living in Rustburg.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were. Oh, wow. I used to drive by Liberty University on my way to work.
I lived
and
in
back every day. Okay, so you know.
Yeah.
My daughter came out to us, and I started looking for a job in Hampton Roads.
Yeah.
And I, you know, so for my oldest, you know, I fortunately, everything with them coming out, they were in BBCPS schools. And we were a very supportive family. Mm-hmm. And so I like our perspective, like I feel bad for families and for, you know, everyone in the LGBTQ community that feels like they live somewhere where they have to actually move.
I mean, it's the hardest
to get away.
It's the hardest part of the community for me is, I mean, it's a big reason why I wanted to start doing the dinners. Why when the very first Kayla's Coalition interest meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I brought up the dinners because, and I'll never be able to understand it. I could never even think about that with my kids.
Right.
I'm sure they'll have reasons to be upset with me just because I'm a human being.
Yeah. Right.
But it won't be because I didn't love them and accept them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so that's always the really hard thing for me.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Is hearing those stories and just like, I mean, so many times, like, I wish, when you're telling your story, I wish I could have your dad in a room and just sit there and be like,
yeah,
what is going on?
I know, yeah. Because
this is this is not how you dad.
Right.
It's not how you do it.
Yeah. Right. It's not how you do it. And well, that was hard for me.
If they're watching all these different things and following, there's a good chance that, you know, they might listen to this. We might actually hear that. So, you know, you can speak directly to this sometimes, because I feel like a lot, the conversations around the trans family and what that means and what that looks like is something we have an opportunity to embrace.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that it struck me about you talking about how you even got into pageantry is like how you met Mama Lex.
Yeah.
And to me, and when the Kalos Coalition, we started this, why we try to do the work that we do and why we try to help is because it is about a light. There's a light inside of you that I see when you're shining. It's the same thing that Lex, even though I only met her twice, this is the type of thing that I see in Dex, is what I see in all of her children, and I see it in the community. It's like a candle. You know, a candle can light another candle, and can be passed on, and we can spread light. And I feel like that's the type of thing, and that's the type of person Lex was also, but also the type of thing we need in leaders, and the type of person I see in you. Yeah. And that's what I think that I hope that if your parents are listening, that they see that, that they see that light, they see that beauty, that amazingness that is you, and work towards the betterment of. But I can't tell them what to do. No one ever listens to
me. And it's like crazy because like when Mama Lex died, I could not keep that from my parents. I can't. I told my Mama Lex more than I told my actual mom. It's certain things I can go to my bio mom about that I can't go to my, well, actually, let me take that back. It was things I can go to my bio mom about that I could go to Mama Lex about, but it's certain things I could go to Mama Lex about, I can't go to my mom about.
There you go.
So I said, Mama, she said, what's up? I said, have you seen that accident that happened in, because it was everywhere. Yeah, because I know if it was in other countries, I know it was back home. Mm-hmm. So, like, I said, you know about that accident happened in downtown Portsmouth, Tony? She said, yeah, that was tragic. I said, yeah, that was my gay mom. She was like, that's your gay mom. And I was like, yeah. She said, oh, I'm sorry about your loss. And I was like, oh, wow. I'm surprised she said, well, she probably said that because she's a Christian woman. But still, I said, I could not keep that because she is the reason why I'm really running for Mr. Trans USA. Like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I am the state representative for Virginia. I'm not 757 representative. Like, I told everybody,
the state of Virginia,
the whole state. Mm-hmm. And like, my heart will always be back home, even though I hate that place. But you know, that's where I was raised. So my job is to at least get some resources, because I know Equality Virginia, Brian Price, he lives out there. I'm getting with him soon. Be like, hey, what can I, as the representative of the state, can do? Because I know there's plenty of kids down there that I've watched growing up that I know they was like, no, I'm not this, I'm not that. Mm-hmm. Yes, baby, why? Because I once was that kid. And it was the people that I grew up in church with. When it comes to religion, it's like, gosh, like that. And it's like,
because you're battling a belief system.
Yeah, and it's like, well, fortunately, I have not lost my belief in God or whatever, but it was just really what my parents and the pastor was feeding me. But now I go to an affirming church, which is the Great Awakening Church in Portsmouth. Mm-hmm. Like, they're so affirming and they're so welcoming, and like, you know, they support the whole community, be it pride events, all of that stuff. And it's like, I'm like, wow.
They're doing it right.
Yes. This is how, like, right. Yeah.
This,
like,
is how you show love.
Right. So, but
it's hard. I know that's probably very hard. And there's a lot of people that, I mean, we've talked about this, the repression, the fear that is instilled, right? And it keeps people from living who they authentically are.
Yeah.
Because they're so afraid of not just like judgment from God, but like judgment from others, because they are some of the judgiest people, you know?
And I think that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is, because they're walking around judging people. Because I didn't, and when my daughter came out, I called up my church family. I got a lot of family real into their religion. I said, you know, I asked my daughter's permission first when she was ready for me to tell the rest of the family, because there was a family event coming up. Mm-hmm. And that's when she was like, well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I called them up and I said, You know, Rowan came out to us as trans, and I am fully behind my kid. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you are either behind that or you're not a part of our life. It's just that simple. You don't have to agree with us, mm-hmm. but if you're going to spend any time with us, mm-hmm. you are going to keep your opinions to yourself, and you're going to respect my daughter's pronouns, mm-hmm. and you're going to
be a human being.
Be a human being, or you will not, not be a part of my life anymore. Just mm-hmm. cut and dry. Yeah. And I won't say that that was easy.
Now,
there's certain people in my family that it's certainly easier for. Mm-hmm. There were some people in my family, it was very hard for me to say that to them.
Sure.
And I'm glad that those people in particular were on board. Whether we shared the same beliefs or not, mm-hmm. their love was bigger than our than our differences.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I was very lucky there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was there was a couple of those conversations where I knew what I was going to say,
mm-hmm.
But I didn't know how they were going to react to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so I won't lie, I went into a couple of them
mm-hmm.
hands shaking.
Right. Yeah.
But also as a father, to me there was no decision.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Like
that's I think what's the really difficult for me is there's just. To me, like no decision, and I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. And
I never thought for a second mm-hmm. about whether or not the hurt that it might cause me,
right,
was a reason enough to not
do something or say something,
especially for my kid.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It wasn't a thought. It was like, oh, this is gonna hurt. Let's go get it done.
Yep.
Yeah. Cause it's funny because I even block my parents. Like, and I don't block people. If I block you, like, I don't care. It takes a lot for me to get pissed off. So like, if I block you, then like you're really messed up. And like, mm-hmm. you know, at the time I was dating a trans woman,
mm-hmm.
and they was very transphobic. They was like, how does that work? And well, and I said, well, Dad, you want a kid, right? You want a grandkid. So, I mean, mm-hmm. we can make it happy. And then my mom was like, we don't want that grandkid. And I said, excuse me? I said, see, okay, so you, first of all, you're not accepting your grandchild. It's not even here mm-hmm. yet. You're not accepting me. You're not accepting my partner. I said, oh, no. Like, if you can't accept all of me, you're trying to accept your baby mm-hmm. girl. Your mm-hmm. baby girl is no longer. I legally just got my name changed. So if you want paperwork, I can show you the paperwork. Like, right. This is the court order. Like, mm-hmm. you have to call me that name. But they'd be mm-hmm. like, I don't care how deep your voice is, or I don't care what surgery you get, or I don't care what facial hair you get. You're always going to be my dad name and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't care. I'm going to say, Ashley. I'm just like, I am not Ashley anymore. Like,
right.
Stop.
Right.
I'm still the same goofy person. I'm still the same mm-hmm. person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the person that I always was. I was just, because I'm not going to say I'm becoming the person. I was always that person. Always I was just person. Didn't know how to
express that.
Yeah. And like, mm-hmm. there's no resources mm-hmm. in Pennsylvania County.
No.
I think it's fair to say we're always all becoming. It's either like you're not becoming trans or another. We're always changing. We're always growing.
We're always evolving. But
that's not unique being trans necessarily.
We're always discovering ourselves.
Well, right. But like at your core, you know, you're just able to express yourself and feel like that you're actually expressing yourself. Because I think that's one thing that there is this, everything is gendered in the world,
mm-hmm.
literally. Yeah. Like everything is gendered mm-hmm. and it's nothing but a marketing ploy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, clothes don't have gender, toys don't have gender, but like I feel awful. I mean, I've therapy and talked myself through it, but mm-hmm. like just I feel awful for how programmed I was and how I put that like on my own children.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have a cisgendered child, mm-hmm. right? But I also have a trans mask non-binary
mm-hmm.
who's my oldest.
Mm-hmm.
And I always knew like there was something unique and like maybe misaligned.
Yeah.
But again, in my head, like society and the expectation of society, mm-hmm. and everything is just gendered, right?
Yeah. Well, and parents' expectations of children,
mm-hmm.
Are, I mean, for some understandable reasons, they're not what they should be.
Right.
Right? Because parents, even if they don't acknowledge it, right? As parents, so much gets attached to our children.
Yeah.
And if we don't take the time to separate what should be there from what shouldn't,
mm-hmm.
then we let the wrong things be there. A lot of parents expect their children to be what heals them.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, their children to be what provides them senses, mm-hmm. a sense of success. Mm-hmm. Their children to fill
unconditional
in
love.
These faults. They have this expectation that their children will provide them with those things, and your children won't.
That's right. Yeah.
That's not how that works. You heal yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You find your own sense of purpose.
Yeah.
And you have to do these things for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so when their children start not going the way that mm-hmm. they needed them to go for their shit,
mm-hmm.
That's when you see this happening, because the expectation was always about their stuff,
right?
You know, the only expectation a parent should have of their child is, I expect you to be yourself and go after mm-hmm. what you love.
Those expectations exist, and that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And those are for trans folks, they're gendered, they're for cis folks, they exist mm-hmm. across like economic expectations, educational. Yep. But I think, you know, beyond those expectations, there's also, you know, are you actively supporting your child?
Right,
you
right.
know, are you showing up right. in those ways? Because it's easy, you know, I think sometimes to just make that general acceptance. But to actually show up and be an active participant, that's a right. different level. And I think mm-hmm. that if you do that, you miss something as a parent. And I think that you miss out on the opportunity for your children to grow during that. But I digress, I'm sorry.
No, that's no, it's totally true. Because like with, you know, when they were younger, so it's like I just dressed, you know, them and, you know, dresses and things like that. And mm-hmm. and they would push back. And I just thought it was like, oh, you're just being a toddler. You know what yeah. I mean? Or, oh, you're just being a 6-year-old mm-hmm. or, you know, oh, you're just being an 8-year-old, you know. But then as they became more into themselves, like getting in, you know, pre-adolescence, like mm-hmm. going through puberty and stuff like yeah. that, I recognize like their autonomy. And I think that's where a lot of parents go kind of wrong, is that they view their children as property instead of people. Mm-hmm. And you know, these parents that do this will be like, no, I don't. And I'm like, yeah, yes, you do. Because you also say the things like, you'll do everything I say and you will be as long as you live under my roof, like you're those people. Right. Yeah. So, it was my kids that taught me. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it saddens me that there are parents out there, and like yours, mm-hmm. that put their own feelings about how, and their whatever they haven't worked out through with their own therapist,
yeah.
Onto their kids, mm-hmm. and they just don't accept their kids wholly as autonomous beings who have thoughts and beliefs and opinions. And you don't have to be, there's no magic switch at 18 years old mm-hmm. that like makes you, you know, more knowledgeable about it. Like you still have the opinions you had when you were 13. I mean, some of them may have changed, but like, I just want parents to respect their kids. And that's kind of what I just was like, oh, well, all right, you're pushing back on me and yeah. let me see what I can learn from you. Yeah. Right.
And I wish my parents did that with me, because I remember, it's funny you said that, I remember in 7th grade, I was in this computer class, whatever, and we was making shirts, yeah. and so he was like, just put whatever you want on there, so I was like, okay, so you know, I'm in my tomboy phase, so you know, I love basketball, so I went and we did 2 shirts, I went and got Maya Moore and Minnesota Lynx on one shirt, and then I got Brittany Griner on another. I went home.
Love Brittany Griner.
Said, Mom, Dad, look what I got. I got some shirts. They was like, okay, Maya Moore, because, you know, I loved uh-huh. her. And it was like, and my dad, he watched sports. So he was mm-hmm. like, Brittany Griner. I was like, yeah, she's really good. And he was like, yeah. And then he was like, because he knew she was gay. And I was like,
oh.
So he was like, you know she gay. And I was like, Yeah, but she's really good. She's the only person in the WBA that can dunk. Yeah, she's tall. Like, and she's what? Hot.
No, she's hot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the tattoos
and
all
yeah,
that. And he was like, So it's funny because they hid that shirt, but they didn't hide the Mai Moore shirt until this day. I don't know where they hid it at. And that was when I was in seventh grade. Like, that's crazy. And so, you know, as the years went by, I started, you know, discovering myself. Lesbianism was around. Yeah. Uh-huh. And, you know, I was like, I started asking my peers, like, so how you do this? How you do that? You know what I'm saying? And then I remember my parents got me a phone. So, you know, I'm a little girl. Like, I'm about to get on these apps and see what it's all about.
Yep.
So I got on this app called Kick. Everybody was on Kick.
Oh, yeah. Kick. I remember Kick.
Mm-hmm. And so I met some girls. I didn't had no business being on that app. But, you know, hey, whatever. And so, of course, if you get in trouble, you get your phone taken or whatever. Then your parents go through the phone. Be like, she's taking the girl for it. What you need to know how to masturbate for and blah, blah, blah.
No, it's like, you're like, oh, I've been masturbating since I was five.
Yeah, I was like, what do you mean? But, yeah.
Parents are so, the fact that you're a teenager and they're like, what do you need to know? I mean, I literally talked to my kids about this when they were five.
I tell people all the time, they want to say this, just like Callan and his innocence. Innocence. You're not protecting anybody's innocence.
No.
You are protecting your own ignorance and naivety.
That's right. That's what you're protecting. And you're enabling predators who will groom children. Yeah,
you're just putting your kids in bad spots by not being involved and not being real. Just being real.
You're like caging us. Like, we feel like prisoners. Mm-hmm. And like, my dad was like, I've always was the kid. It was my older brother. Then it was just me. He's like 2 years older than me. And like, I always go in my room, shut my door, because I need to be out here for it. Like, I don't, and my dad be like, I can hear him. Like, he comes in the home. Hey, where's Ashley? She's in her room. She always in the room. Like, why you always let her go in the room? She needs to be out here, have family time. We'll go out, have family time. It's not really family time. It's just watching the 5 o'clock fucking news. Like,
right.
I don't care.
Like, right. I don't care about this. This is not family time. You are not spending time with me.
Yeah.
If you were, you would get to know what my likes and dislikes are. And I love Brittany Griner.
Yes.
Because I love basketball. Yes. Where's my shirt?
Yes. That's Give me my shirt. I work hard to copy and paste that off of
That's
Google.
That's right.
But
That's
yeah,
right.
like my dad, he noticed, like, I started changing because I used to have long hair. And I cut my hair. And so I told my mom, when I got a girl fired, I'm like, Mom, don't you like this curly fade? Like, that's cute. Like, I just got it, you know, cut. She's like, yeah. So I got it like that. My dad came home. You know, he's always skeptical. He's like, what's going on with this?
Right.
She was like, it was just something different. He said, yeah, you're right. It ain't that bad. And then that's when I guess sponging got into play. That's like, you know, when you sponge your hair and whatever. And so he was like, they look boyish. Like, why do you? And then, like, I started getting out of dresses around that time. I think I was around, it was like my 10th grade year, 10th, 11th grade year. And, yeah, it started, you know, changing. And my dad was like, you know, when I came out as bisexual and gay, he was like, see, you should have been on top of her, because I knew this was going to happen, and I seen it happen. I just understand how you be up on her all the time. You're always with her, but I get off the road from 2 weeks and come home, and now it's like I have two sons now, and she's like, oh, no, like, she's fine.
She was, and right, placating.
It was a lot. Like, people be like, dude, like, I'm 23. They be like, with all the stuff that you went through, like, dude, like, it's so many people that would have, like, clocked out. And I'm like, it's been times where I thought about it, but I'm at the point in my life, like, yes, I get sad and stuff like that, but I don't really get suicidal anymore.
Right.
Because I fought for so many years to get out of that suicidal depression, because I was living with them, and they didn't see that, and they didn't believe in counseling, and I'm just like they just believed in prayer because they were so religious, and I'm like, but then y'all just go to marriage counseling. That's none of my business. Anyway, anyway, like, I was just like, so now I just want to be that light and be that positive influence, like, in the community, and be like, it's okay. Like, you can talk to me about stuff. Like, my my drag sister, you know, both had mama legs, and she was like, dude, like, I'm just about to give up entertaining. I said, oh, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, ma'am. I'm like, just because mama Lex is not here, like, mm-hmm. you have a brother that entertains. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. come to me. And, like, when I started encouraging her, like, no, listen to what other people say. Be you. Yep. Drag is subjected. Drag is art and art is subjective. Mm-hmm. Okay? So you are the art form.
Right.
Use your personality. And when she did that, she's going off now. So, like, I tell people all the time, like, hey, don't give up just because you're going through stuff. I have a trans mask brother. He's trying to come out too. Mm-hmm. And I told him we went through similar situations, not same situations, because mm-hmm. similar and same are two different things. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
that's very. So tell me, that's awesome. I love hearing that. But I do want to talk really quick about the national pageant. Mm-hmm. When is that?
Okay.
And where is that?
Okay, so the national pageant is November 7th through the 10th, okay. And it's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So.
Very cool. Okay. Oh, my gosh, yeah. That's amazing. So yeah. I'm going to have to tell. So my oldest lives uh-huh. in Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they live in Racine. Oh, wow. So they live, like, Milwaukee's just, like, 25 minutes oh, wow. from there, so okay. it's really close.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'll have to tell them. Okay. That's very exciting. Yeah, so I know really that they would love to go. They are married. Their husband. Yeah. They both work for the university up there. Okay. And, it's interesting with them in Wisconsin. Yeah. I do, you know, I have had some bouts of worry just mm-hmm. like just because of the environment. We kind of talked a little bit about that. But so far it's been good. They've found some, I think, some community up mm-hmm. there. But I mean, they kind of stay to themselves anyways. Yeah. But I will have to tell them about that. Okay. So November 7th to the 10th.
Yep. Is it going to be like on TV, they're gonna be broadcasting it.
It'll most likely be live stream. Yeah,
I want to watch it. I have a favorite now.
Yes, we could be rooting for Virginia.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes.
And what can we do? You know, and what can listeners do, or people who are watching this do, to help support you and support the pageant in general? How can we get you there? Get you shining? Get you winning the whole thing? Bring it home for Virginia. What can we do?
What are the judges' emails so we can?
I wish I would have known. Well, you know, I'm trying to build up my package or whatever. This is my first national pageant, but I already have TTMOC handling my suits and stuff like that, so I ain't got to worry about that. I am asking for, like, any donations or anything like that mm-hmm. for, like, transportation, food. God, it don't have to be that much food because I don't eat as is. Hotel or just, you know, just any extra money that I might can mm-hmm. throw out there. I'm really trying to get like a campaign going on, especially mm-hmm. in Pride Month, because I am going to be performing. I'm trying to set up a table. I'm not sure. I'm gonna have to get somebody to sell it for me because, you know, like I said, I'm performing. But I would like to get some shirts made or something like that. Get like a brochure or like a card. I'd be like, hey, working for Mr. Trans Virginia on the front, and on the back have like my Cash App, PayPal, yeah. Venmo, stuff like that. If you would like to donate,
what Pride are you already at? Going to be at some Pride events or which ones?
So I'm going to be on Club Stage, in Norfolk Pride, and the second Pride event is going to be in Portsmouth Pride.
Pride, yeah, okay.
And I'm still trying to care from other Pride events, but if I don't perform, I'll be at most of them anyway. Just mm-hmm. you know, just supporting the being Mr. Trans and. You know, mm-hmm. yeah. So.
Well, we'll do whatever we can to get you involved with Gint Pride if you want as well. Okay. I know that we were looking for entertainers, and it would be an honor and a privilege to have Mr. Trans USA Virginia performing at Gint Pride. So I know everyone wants, we want to see you thrive, to have someone here and do that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that we focus on most, that TTMOC focuses on shining and thriving. So the last thing I want to ask you before we start ending Elf tonight is, you know, what does it mean to thrive for you? Like, and how can we help you thrive aside from just sending you dollars? What do you want to see in the future?
So what it means to thrive for me is to keep pushing. Like, just mm-hmm. do what Doris said and keep swimming and keep swimming and keep swimming. But not like, it's funny because, like, I'm really goofy. So, like, I hear stuff like that, yep. it's like, yes, keep swimming. But no, like, thriving really means to just, the sky's the limit. Like, mm-hmm. you make your own path. Don't listen to nobody else. Those are haters. They're all the way down here, all the way up here. So it's like, that's something I had to learn for myself. I used to listen to everybody. They'd be like, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that. Look where you're at. Look where I'm at right now. So it's just like, you know, you have to take pride and know your worth. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
That's really important. Yes, thank you. Well, it's been great.
It has been. It's been really great. Thanks for coming out and being on our little podcast here.
I know, our little tiny podcast.
Yeah, you should be very proud of yourself.
Thank you.
You're doing some amazing stuff, some awesome things.
Yes, I'm excited.
And if your dad does end up listening to this, he should know that he should be very proud of you, too. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Yes. I really appreciate it.
I'm really
and
proud.
You're the perfect example of how we like to end the show.
I know.
And that is trans joy. Defeats hate every time.
Yes, every time. Yes.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Collective Tattoo and the Kalos Coalition. We are listener supported, so if you like the show, please consider donating to us on Patreon at patreon.com/talkingtransparency. Like, share, and subscribe across social media, and be sure to visit our Linktree at linktree.com/talkingtrans.